On this fifth Sunday of Lent, it might be helpful for us to reflect on a tradition of our Catholic Christian faith that unfortunately may not be as important to our Lenten spirituality as years past, especially with the restrictions that have been placed because of the pandemic. I'm not talking about the sacrament of reconciliation or confession, though the opportunity for the Lord's mercy and grace is so essential to us living a life pleasing to God. The opportunities for confession readily available here at the cathedral, including next Sunday, Palm Sunday. We can't live our faith alone. We need the grace of the sacraments, the intercession of our Blessed Mother and the saints, and the community of faith we call the Church, in which you gather today in the Cathedral of Our Lady of Lourdes. However, this morning I like to spend some time in these final days of Lent on the Stations of the Cross. You may have heard me speak of the value of the Stations of the Cross, which are beautifully depicted here in our cathedral. There's a certain other church in the state of Washington where the Stations of the Cross do not have the majesty of these, but rather are made from picket fences and barbed wire. Very hard to enter into the experience of the suffering of Christ as we can in this and many of the other stations in our churches of our diocese. Journeying through the stations is a time-honored devotion that was popularized by one of the greatest orders of priests and brothers, the Franciscans. As you know, the Franciscans have custody of the Holy Land, a great responsibility that the Franciscan friars so generously give of their time and lives serving God's holy people in that area. But in the early and medieval times, the pilgrimage was a popular devotion. These were the days, obviously, before business class travel and air-conditioned buses taking pilgrims around the sites. Now, in these days, when individuals were able to go on a pilgrimage, they often walked, or they rode mules, or they took slow boats. And such pilgrimages were done with the greatest of devotion. They were done, and sometimes it took days, even months, and they were frequently met with danger, more aggravation than one's lost luggage on a trip. But one of the favorite pilgrimage goals was at some point to go to the Holy Land, again, usually reserved for only a few. There, people wanted to visit the very spots that Jesus walked, especially the torturous way to Calvary. But it was far across the waters, and many people, again, were unable to take on such an arduous journey. So artists, among the pilgrims who did go, began to sketch the Holy Land sites associated with Jesus' passion and death, usually under the care of the Franciscans, and they would bring these sketches back to Europe, and they would hang these pictures along roadsides and eventually inside churches. Now, the number of such pictures varied over the years from 7 to 24, but eventually they settled on 14, the standard number of Stations of the Cross, as we see here in the walls of our cathedral. In a day of recollection, I attended, while still a priest, directed by a Capuchin Franciscans. The Capuchins are one of the branches of the Franciscans. The priest said it was important for us to know the rules of the 14 stations. I remember as a boy in grammar school, it was the honor to be in the eighth grade and to be one of the altar boys who, either carrying candles or the processional cross, went station to station as the eighth graders read the various stations of the cross. We were to ponder the reflections and enter into the suffering of Christ. But they're called stations for a reason. We're meant to stand there and to look and to ponder and to enter into the experience. So the pilgrim of yesterday and today is called to stand before the depiction of Christ for two reasons. One is to meditate on the scene before us, and the other is to enter into it. A few years back, I went to confession in Lourdes, and there's two prominent sets of Stations of the Cross. One wraps a hillside, and they're gilded or painted in gold. The other are more modern, and they were done by a Polish artist, and they're adjacent to what's called the prairie. Intentionally, the artist made the hands of Jesus to be very big, disproportionate to the body of Jesus. And in confession, the priest said, go down, make the Stations of the Cross, and at each one, place your hand into the hand of Jesus and join with him. It is and continues to be a very powerful experience to enter into the experience of Jesus on the cross. As we do so, we take on the role sometimes of a character. Now this morning, not to go over the 14 stations, but perhaps to reflect on seven of them. And as hopefully you're able to enter into the experience in these final days of Lent, perhaps one or more of these reflections may be helpful to you. Think of the first station. Jesus is unjustly accused by Pilate. We ask ourselves this question. Has there been a time in your life when you stood falsely accused? When rumors spread about you? When you were the victim of false gossip? And no matter how hard you tried to explain, no one seemed to believe you. I think of Cardinal Pell, who was in jail in Australia on false charges that were unbelievable in what they accused him of abuse. And finally, the courts re-examined it and released him. You think of Thomas More, the great saint, again, beheaded on trumped-up charges. So when we look at that first station, we may ask ourselves, have we been unjustly accused of gossip and innuendo? And how did we act? Do we identify with Jesus before Pilate, keeping silent and offering up our humiliation, knowing that Christ has been there before us, knowing that God's will have the last word? And then there's the fourth station. Jesus meets his mother. Mary's heart was broken not only because she saw her son publicly disgraced and humiliated, going to his death as a common criminal, but most of all because she could not help him. As you reflect on that station, Mary becomes every parent unable to save their children. Every parent who watches by a hospital bed, every parent who has buried a child, every parent who stands by and helplessly watches a son and daughter's life disintegrate with drugs or alcoholism, the parent whose unending prayer is pleading with God for a son or daughter to change their sinful lifestyle or return back to the faith, or hopes and prays their marriage will remain together. Mary is every parent who wants so badly to save her child and cannot, not right now, that is, but instead offers prayers and prays deeply that the last minute the good thief is snatched into paradise because someone never stopped praying for them. Or the fifth station, Simon is forced to carry Jesus' cross. When you look at that station and stand there, you think of all the people, perhaps yourself, who carry a cross they did not ask for or expect or deserve. No one wanted a sick parent or disabled or challenged child or cancer or addiction or divorce or job loss or depression, the unwanted crosses of all descriptions. Too many of us experience the name of Simon and we get angry with God. But the longer you and I stand before the fifth station, the more we could absorb the tradition which says that Simon started out with anger, wanted no part of that cross, but after a time of carrying the cross with Jesus, he moved from anger to understanding, from compassion to love, and from love to his own salvation. That is possible for us. Or perhaps the ninth station, Jesus falls the third time. People who spend time before this station often say this: I recognize this station from experience. I stand with habits of sin, of quick judgment, of gossip, of alcohol, of sex additions, of anger, and no matter how hard we try or pray about it or confess it, we can't seem to get rid of it. We keep falling like Jesus. But I believe if we pray before this station long enough, we might have a different focus. The focus is less on falling and more on getting up. As Pope Francis has said, it's not that Catholics don't sin, it's that we learn to get up again and try, praying each time to be ever closer to Jesus. The 12th station, Jesus dies on the cross, forgiving his enemies. When we're before this station, we reflect on just how much in our lives we still hold grudges or harbor a hardened heart. How can we be so unforgiving with family members, friends, even the church? And finally, the 14th station, Jesus is placed in the tomb. When you stand before this station, we might think of the tombs of our lives, whether it's a difficult marriage or a dead-end job, or mistakes made in the past, or a prayer life that seems shallow. We can't pray, and we think no one answers us, a feeling that God has abandoned us. But like the people who placed both Jesus and their hopes in the darkness of the tomb and rolled a heavy stone over both, we know that there is the 15th station, commonly referred to as the resurrection. These 14 stations on the walls of the cathedral are essentially roughly the days we have left in Lent. And perhaps we will have some time in these days to stand before these stations and humbly pray and ask for strength as we identify with Jesus and his suffering for us. So let us continue our Mass this morning, take the time to walk the steps of Jesus' journey, and in so doing, become pilgrims of the 21st century, more willing and able to experience the gift, the good news of Jesus, the risen Christ, on Easter morning.